Now, as you can tell, this message is, I call it just simply Treasures in Heaven. And it's talking about money and giving and things like that. And just in case somebody's wondering if, you know, that was planned with Pastor Stastny's talk just a moment ago, I can just tell you this, we're not that clever to try to plan that out. And it honestly was completely not planned at all in that way. However, it's interesting to me always the way the Lord puts things together. And so in this scripture, we're going to talk about, and I'll probably use the word money a lot, but we understand that it's not just dollars and cents that we're talking about here. When he talks about treasures in heaven and treasures on the earth, there's numerous things that go into that category of treasures. Material treasures and eternal treasures. Earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. Now, let me just ask this question. I think it'll be easy for you to answer, but it might be a little tricky if you don't think about it too closely. So listen up. Here's the question, guys. Money. Now, we know some things about money in the Bible, right? But is money good or is money bad? You think money's bad? You think money's good? Two brothers that don't agree. What do you know? Money is, can it be good or can it be bad? Actually, the answer is neither one. It's neither good nor bad. Money is neutral.
Well, you could spend stuff on money.
But you can use money badly, can't you?
How could you use money badly?
Well, if you... Okay. If you buy the wrong thing. Yeah, that's right. So, money is neither evil or good. But it is, so when we talk about what we're going to, you know, when we get into this message, I want you to just understand that it really is not about the amount or the not amount. It's not about the dollars or the cents. All that the Bible teaches us about the issue of money has to do with our heart. That's the issue. The issue here that the Lord, remember where we are now, just to give us kind of back into our context, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has been teaching all through here about the religion of the Jewish people and the teachings of the Pharisees and how they have been, talking about all the external, the showy, the material things that Jesus is saying to them, you may have all that on the outside, but your heart is not right with God. Okay? And so you could even give, as Pastor Stastny mentioned, you could give great amounts in an offering, but still be wrong in your heart toward God. So when we talk about this, I want you to understand it's all about the heart attitude, the heart that's behind it, the motives, what your thought is about the treasures of life. And that's what's really important to the Lord. So, let me just give you these points because I want to go quickly this morning. I know we are already shorter on time and everybody wants to eat cake. So let me give you some quick thoughts. First of all, there's three questions I want you to think about today. Now, that was a question, but three things you have to answer. Or three choices. Let me put it that way. Three choices. First one is this. You must choose where your treasures are stored. All right? You must choose where your treasures are stored. Now, in verse number 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
What page?
I don't know. My Bible's different as far as page numbers. And then he says, but lay up for yourselves, in verse 20, treasures in heaven. Now, let me get a couple volunteers. Here's two good-looking guys here, Mike and Josh. Come here. Where'd my treasure boxes go? Here they are. All right, Mike, you get to hold this one. Joshua, take that one and go on that side. So, all right, so since she said that one's the bad one, we're going to say this one is the heavenly box, all right? You got the heavenly treasure box here. That one's the earthly treasure box. So when Jesus is saying here, is really, this is, you have choices, right? You have a choice how you utilize your material things. You have choices on how you utilize your money. And so where are you going to put your treasures? Are you going to put it in this one, or are you going to put it in that box? That's the choice. You want to put it in the heavy little one. Good. That's a good choice. Well, as the little ones can already see, the wise choice, of course, the right investment is going to be in this one. But let's be honest now. Let's just think about this. When it comes to how we use our money, which box do you think we're really investing in most of the time? And you don't have to answer that out loud, but the truth of the matter is, a lot of our treasures go here. And the problem with that is this one doesn't last as long. This one's eventually going to be burned up and gone. Moths devour it, rust decays it, thieves deprive you of the use of it. And so this one is, it's only temporary. And so when you put, and you can just go sit down, Josh, you have no idea. But this one is eternal, right? And so, thanks, Michael. So eternal treasures are going to, of course, last forever, and they're going to bear benefits and fruit and rejoicing and joy. And I don't even really know, to be honest with you, what does that mean when you lay up treasures in heaven, and what will that be like when we get there? I don't even know all the answers to that. But I do know that if we put more investments into this bank, the heavenly treasures, that means that there's going to be the souls that have been saved through our efforts, giving and witnessing and giving out tracts and holding Bible schools and all those kind of things. I mean, don't misunderstand the fact that putting into this box isn't just what goes into this plate, all right? There's a lot more to putting in this box than just that. I mean, there is ministry, there is helps and gifts and things that you use for the Lord, ways you enhance. Your prayers can also add up in here. Do you understand that? And so, but we need to make a conscious choice of where. Now, do we have to put things in this temporary box? Yeah. Because we live in a world that takes that. Is it necessary for us to buy food and houses and clothes? And of course it is. We need those things. And we live in a world, and we understand that our house is one day going to fall down or burn up or be flooded away. It's not going to last forever. But for a time, we live in it, and we have to keep it up. But our attitude needs to be that as this is where really our heart is. This is where really our treasures need to be thought of. And if you really get that attitude, it's almost like, I don't want you to, you know, the Bible says that if we don't provide for our own, we are wrong, we're in sin. It says we're worse than an infidel. If a man doesn't provide for his family the best he can, if he doesn't take care of matters, if he's lazy and neglectful and slothful, then that's not right. And so we do have to work, and we do have to upkeep our things and so on. But if our attitude is that my heart is to invest as much as I can in God's work, then in a sense I almost begrudge the fact that so much has to go into this world because we have to live in it, you know. Now, it's right to keep your family and your house and cars and things in good shape, but that's not where our heart should be. Remember what he said? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So your heart needs to be there. So we're choosing where we want to lay up our treasures. And when we understand the difference, we can see where it needs to go. Oh boy, there's so much I'd like to show you this morning. I had some good illustrations I'm going to have to skip. But anyway, just for sake of time. But you know, Abraham was one of those guys. I'll just talk to you. I don't have to turn to these. But if you want to look these up, if you went to Genesis chapter 13 and 14, you would find out that Abraham was very wealthy, actually. Abraham had a lot of money. As a matter of fact, in chapter 13, verse 2, it says that he had riches and gold and so on. And it tells about how he had so many sheep and herds and things that him and Lot couldn't live together because they just had too much. It was too much for the land. And he said to his nephew Lot, you choose. If you want to go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And they made that choice. Abraham had a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having riches. If God gives it to you, then it's not wrong. But Abraham's riches didn't have him. See, he had the riches, but they didn't have him. And the reason why I can say that is because if you watch Abraham's life, just in the very fact that he said to Lot, I'll tell you what, you choose. Now he could have, he put himself in a position that could have cost him something. I mean, he gave Lot first choice. So Lot could have then looked out and made a shrewd business plan and figured out just where the most was and took that, and then that would have left Abraham holding whatever's left over. But Abraham didn't care about that. Later in chapter 14, Lot's over, now he's down around Sodom, and Sodom gets captured by another army. And if you read chapter 14, you'll read about this. And they take Sodom and all their people, and they you know, when they armies would come in and they would conquer you, they took all your money and your things, and they spoiled you. Well, Abraham gathered up his men and he went after them and he overtook the army and conquered them and got the stuff back for Sodom. And he did that because his nephew was living there. And then the king of Sodom came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, because you've done this and I want to reward you, I'm going to give you a bunch of spoils. Do you know what Abraham said? He said, no, I don't want your spoils. He said, I wouldn't take from you even a shoelace. Read it in the Bible sometime. He said, I'm not going to do that because I don't want anybody to say that you made me rich. I'm committed to God, and God is the one that blesses me. Now, does that sound like a person who's greedy? No. No, if he was greedy, he would have said, why, sure. Lavish me, you know, all you want. But Abraham was not. So Abraham, yes, he had wealth, but he didn't let the wealth get a hold of his heart. His heart was still for God. His heart was for the treasures of heaven. And that's what Jesus is driving at in this sermon that he preaches here. Let me have you look up this verse, because I think this is really a great principle. Go to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, please. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Now Solomon had an enormous amount of wealth too, and I'm afraid some of it did go to his heart. He can, you know, he did what the Lord told him not to do and amassed many horses and lots of silver and gold and so on. But in Proverbs, I wonder, I can't find them in Psalms. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 8. He says this, he says, and actually I just looked at verse 1, it says these are the words of Eglon, and so this isn't even Solomon speaking, but anyway, he says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Now listen carefully, read it with me. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So what's he saying there? He's just basically saying, Lord, I don't need a lot. I just need enough to get by. As long as I don't have to steal or, you know, turn, you know, if I get into poverty, that might make me do things out of desperation. So I don't want to be poor. But Lord, I don't want to be so rich that I'll forget you. And so he says, all I need is just enough to live on. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, with food and raiment, therewith be what? Content. And so that should be our attitude. It's not about amassing great fortunes. I don't think any of us are really, trying to do that. I think sometimes the young people, they have dreams. You know, they look at these successful businessmen and they think, boy, you know, fancy cars and fancy houses and fancy things like that. Well, listen, if you have food and raiment, you have the necessities of life, all those things really aren't that important. Matter of fact, they're all going to burn up. They're all going to die. They're all going to corrupt. They're all going to go to the junkyard. And so don't waste your fortunes on that. Don't waste what God gives you on those things. Am I saying you shouldn't have a decent vehicle and a nice house? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying don't set your heart on those things. Because those take away from what you can invest there. And so it's about having our heart for God and being a steward of what He gives to us. So He said, He warns us about setting our affections on earthly treasures. And then secondly, He warns us against the abundance of earthly treasures. He says, lay not up treasures. You know what that term means? It doesn't mean that we can't have any money. But He says, if you stockpile it, if you're building it up, you're amassing it, then moths are going to come and they're going to devour. You say, well, they eat my money. Well, in those days, garments were actually clothing, was very valuable. And of course, moths would eat certain cloths and material. Or metal, whether it was gold. I don't know if gold doesn't really rust, I don't think. But still, those things are devoured. Moth and rust devour. Those things are eaten up. And so He says, don't hoard it. Don't stockpile it. Don't lay it up. You say, should you never look ahead and save? No, I'm not saying that. A wise man can do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. But, you know, be careful about that verse. Because I hear some people say, you know, the Bible says a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. Now, if I'm going to leave an inheritance to my children and to their children, my grandchildren, then I got to have quite a bit. I don't really think that's what the Lord is saying. I think God is saying that, you know, there's an inheritance that you can give your children other than just money, right? Father's Day is coming up. Fathers lay up for their children. Does that include money? Maybe. But there's something greater and more important. If my dad never left me a nickel as far as money, I don't really care, honestly. He's given me something better than that. He's given me some great teaching, some good advice, a godly heritage, the example of character. You know, there's things you can lay up for your children besides just money. That's all I'm saying, right? And so, it's not wrong to leave an inheritance, but I'm just saying that God just warns us about stockpiling it. Let me just have you turn to this one, and we'll close here in a moment. But James chapter 5, James chapter 5. I have verses swirling around in my head here. There's so many things that the Bible has to say about the subject. But in James chapter 5 and verse number 1, he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. That's an interesting start to that chapter, eh? Look at verse 2. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Now, I don't know if you have the habit like I do to underline things in your Bible, but I underline there, the rust of them shall be a witness against you. What that means is this. When you stand before God and He says, okay, you had all this mountain of wealth, but look at it, it's all rusted and cankered. You didn't do anything with it. You just kept stockpiling it, kept hoarding it, kept piling it up. Rather than using it for the kingdom of God, you let it stay in a bank account or whatever, and it's just cankered as far as God's concerned. And then listen to what he says. In verse 4 he says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. So he says there, you have a pile of money, and yet you have people that did work for you, and you didn't really even pay them properly. And so God is judging them for this. That's why he says, weep and howl for the misery that's going to come upon you. Because you stockpiled money, but instead of using it to give generously to those who worked for you, to those that deserved it, to the things that ought to have been funded by you, instead you kept piling it up. And so the Lord is warning here. He says, lay not up treasure. And the idea of that is treasuring up treasures. Stocking up treasures. But he says, lay them up in heaven. That's where we stock them. That's where we want to keep amassing. So send it on ahead. Hoard it up there. But not down here. Okay. Let's see if we can get done. We have to choose how our heart sees. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. And I used to read these verses and scratch my head a little bit because I wasn't quite certain of what it was saying. But in chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, let me get back there. He says, if the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What is that saying? Well, to try to put it as succinctly as I can, when you fix your heart on the kingdom of God, and that's where our heart should be, look down all the way down to verse 33. He says, seek first what? The kingdom of God. So that's where we are set our eyes, our focus. When our eyes are set on the kingdom of God, when we're single focused on that, then we have spiritual light. But as long as our focus of our eye is all about the world, this world we live in, then spiritually we're going to be in darkness. We won't be able to see, really, we won't even really understand what this treasure box is about. We can't even hardly really grasp what is spiritual because we're all about, you know, the things, the clothes, the cars, the money, all the stuff, the toys. And so if that's where our eyes are focused, then spiritually, the light that should be there is darkened. And if that light's darkened, then boy, we're dark. We don't see very well. But we got to lift our eyes and get off of those things and look up and see what things the Lord are interested in. So, I just wrote that. I'll read you my notes. See a Christian who never grows. Maybe he's so focused on the earth and so caught up on the material that they have no spiritual perception at all. And so we need to choose where our heart is looking. And then lastly, I wrote down, you must choose who your life serves. And we finish in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here's a statement I wrote down. A man cannot be loyal to two wives. Would you agree with that? Nor, my wife agrees with that. Nor can you serve money and God at the same time. It's impossible. And so, when it comes to this area of treasures, we have to decide which place we're going to lay up our treasures. We have to decide where our heart is going to look. And we have to decide who we are going to serve. That's the message. As best as I can sum it up. So let's go ahead and stand and we'll have prayer together. Now, You may say, I want to lay up treasures in heaven, but let me just close with this thought. You know, the greatest treasure you possess is your soul. Your eternal soul. And so we sang this song just a little while ago that said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what that's talking about? That's right out of the scriptures. Paul wrote a verse that says those very words. And what he's saying is, I have entrusted my soul to Jesus. And I know that he is able to keep it. And so my question to you today as we close is this. Have you entrusted the treasure of your soul, your eternal soul, into the hands of Christ? And if you've not done that, then really that's the most important treasure you need to think about right now. Is where is your soul laid up? Is it in the bank of heaven, safe with Jesus, or is it still on this earth, which is going to perish?